A special episode of BulaNetwork.com. Hey folks, welcome to the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Another episode, a special episode of BulaNetwork.com. Don't ask me why I do these special episodes, I just do. I don't know, I don't feel like numbering them. Yeah, somebody says, you know, how many would you have if they were all numbered? No idea, I haven't gone back to look. I'll do that one of these days. Emails and questions about leadership. And so that's the reason for the special episode of BulaNetwork.com, and we'll do that next. I hope you're doing well. Leadership is not limited or restricted to bosses, and it is not even necessarily limited to people who have some type of a position. We may think of it in those terms, but not true. The fact of the matter is, it's highly probable that you are a leader to somebody. Somebody follows you. Somebody watches you. Let's use one word that I think everybody can relate to, and that word is influence. Influence. You're a leader if you influence anybody, and quite frankly, if you're alive, if you're breathing, you influence somebody. I have on my bookshelves a vast array of books that have leader or leadership or influence or persuasion in the title. And I have books that are written by very noteworthy people who write tomes about leadership and worth reading. I would encourage you. Warren Bennis comes to mind. John Maxwell comes to mind. These are but two men who have written considerable words about leadership and all the qualities of leadership. I'm not going to approach it nearly from that kind of a perspective today. I'm rather going to approach it from what I have learned over the course of nearly 40-year career, much of it spent in leadership positions, in leadership roles. Now, it's one thing to have bequeathed to you or to have been promoted to some position of leadership, to be hired or to even to create or assume a position of leadership. And so let's begin by making a distinction between a position and the qualities possessed by the person in the position. You may have heard people make comments to the effect, and it's usually made from a leader or a person who doesn't feel quite respected, and they may say words to the effect, you know, well, you don't have to respect me, but you should respect my position. Yeah, well, it's very difficult for us to kind of separate the two, isn't it? I mean, the police officer, let's take this, and you should show the utmost respect to police officers. Now, they don't always show us the same kind of respect. Not always. Yes, now, I've been pulled over a time or two for traveling a tad too fast. But I'm thinking of an occasion. My wife and I were headed to a wedding some years ago. And I, along with, I don't know, a slew of other cars here in the DFW area, was traveling on a big highway. And off on a service road, I saw a police officer as I rounded a corner. I looked down at my speedometer, and I was not exceeding the speed limit. And I kept on going. And he pulled out onto the highway and traveled behind a number of us for a while and pulled me over. Now, I'm freely going to tell you, I had a radar detector, and a good one, one that would pick up any and all bands of radar. And those, by the way, are not illegal here in the state of Texas. I inquired politely what seemed to be the problem, and he announced to me that I was going about 10 miles faster an hour than I was going. And I said, "Really?" And he got quite indignant about it all. And I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yes." He had clocked me. I asked how he knew, and he said he had clocked me with his radar. And I said, "Do you mind if I ask what kind of radar you're running?" He hem-hawed around. I asked if I could see the display, which, by the way, is your legal right. And then he announced to me that, well, he had eyeballed me. From the service road, mind you, and I'm on a four-lane interstate. Anyway, it was a less than pleasant conversation. I respected his uniform. I honestly did. But did I have any respect for him? No, I did not. I didn't. I knew immediately that he was lying to me. I knew that he was being deceitful. I knew that he had some other agenda that I was not quite privy to. And, of course, my mind went to speculation just as yours would. So we can respect the position, and I did. I wasn't nearly as blunt as I wanted to be. He did write me a ticket, by the way. And nothing ever came of it, I'll have you know. I don't remember exactly what happened, but I either went to pay it or I don't remember. It's been some years ago. And through some odd set of circumstances, they did not have, it was not on file. So I'm guessing he must have written me a ticket and then either forgot about it, which I find hard to believe. Or he just, I don't know. I like to think that he knew not to mess with me. Yeah, right. Dream on, dude. But those kinds of things happen. Those kinds of things happen. And so the tyrannical boss, you know, the guy that just treats people like dog meat, and we think, well, you know, we're the boss and the people should just salute everything. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't. If you behave as a miserable human being, people are going to view you as a miserable human being with a title. That's all. You're just a miserable human being with authority. That doesn't work. And not when it comes to influence. Well, and when we think of influence, we think of influence in a good way. We normally don't think, well, boy, he's a great leader because his influence is terrible. No, they're great leaders because their influence is good. Now, as I hit the record button, there's lots of things happening in the state of Pennsylvania at State College, Penn State University. And without going into all the gory details of it all, suffice to say, leadership is a big issue. And at its heart is influence. And at the heart of the influence is doing what's morally and ethically right. And we know what is morally and ethically right. I mean, I don't care what your religious convictions might be. I mean, we're talking about behavior that is so despicable that common sense teaches us. This is not right. This should not happen. I mean, surely as adult people, we understand the need to protect our children. And so we can, it has been dissected eight ways to Sunday how leadership at that university failed. Well, and it's cost a lot of people their jobs, and it's likely to continue. President of the university, head coach. I mean, there have been some arrests made and may likely end up being others. No doubt there are going to be civil suits galore. And for good reason, because leadership did not have the integrity and leadership did not behave as ethically and as morally upright as it should have. One lesson of all of that, among many, is this component of time. We may feel that, time just, let's just forget about it. And okay, we'll behave poorly today, but that won't affect anything down the road. Yeah, it will. Yeah, be careful. Your sins will find you out. And there is a price to be paid. If not today, there will be a price paid eventually. And as many people have done, I have as well, speculated, what kind of conversations do you suppose have gone on amongst the football team, for instance, among the football coaches and this one coach who has been accused of these horrific crimes? And knowledge of these things, but, such is the burden of leadership. We throw around terms like hero very, very commonly today. I don't know that that's appropriate. I rather think that ordinary people, and yes, that means me, and that means you, ordinary people can exhibit solid leadership in that we can provide a good example, we can provide good influence on people who are affected by our lives, people who hear us, people who interact with us, people who may be watching us and we may have no awareness of it at all. Surely you have. You have found out that someone was watching or someone was paying attention to something and you had no awareness that they were watching, but, at some point down the line, somebody made some observation about something about you and you're thinking to yourself, I didn't even know anybody was looking. And let me focus on that because for me, that's a big component. That behavior that you engage in, those things that you say, those actions that you take, those things that you refrain from doing when nobody is looking. How about that as some barometer of leadership? I mean, it's pretty easy, come on, to hit a record button or to do a video or to write a blog post and to present yourself as one thing. It's something different when, okay, the microphone's turned off, the camera's turned off, the blog post is done. And of course, I'm speaking in internet terms because that's this medium. But what about when nobody's looking? How do you behave when you're behind the wheel of a car and you're alone? Well, don't get me started. I've done a fair amount of barking from behind the wheel. Now, I don't suffer road rage. I've never really quite suffered road rage, but of course, if you live in a big city, I mean, come on, Dallas, Texas, there's, I don't know, how many people are here? 6 million? I don't know what the population is. I know it's like the number 5 media market in the country, so it's a big city. It's a big city, and not everybody in this town knows how to drive. And of course, not everybody in this town knows how to drive as well as I do. And so that person who is going to make a right-hand turn, and they've got their signal on, and there's just cars galore, and it's just taking forever for them to make this turn. No, I don't honk. No, I don't make hand gestures. I wouldn't even say that I holler or scream, but I do. I have been known to make guttural sounds. It does infuriate me sometimes, but I behave myself. What about you? What about you? What if your kids followed you around like private eyes during the day? And of course, if you're home, they do. You don't think they do, but they do. Little pitchers have big ears and all that. I used to say that, and my kids were like, what? Little pitchers have big ears? I'm like, yeah, so I had to explain it to them. Yes, it means that we've got to be careful around small children. We've got to be careful around you guys. And of course, now that my kids are older and they have kids, they're finding out the hard way that they have to be very careful, because guess what? In their home, the little pitchers do have big ears. And they pay attention and they listen. Well, you know what? It's just not little pitchers that have big ears. It's all kinds of pitchers, all sizes of us as pitchers. We all have big ears. We all pay attention. And we are all influenced by each other. And to some degree, I'm really sick and tired of the whole social media thing as far as friends and followers. I mean, come on, aren't we all friends, and aren't we all followers, and aren't we all leaders? Yes, the answer is yes. And so much of this is this me society that we get wrapped up in, and so many people get caught up in their own persona of how other people perceive them. And the fact of the matter is, quite frankly, an awful lot of us are probably not perceived. Well, we probably are perceived quite differently than how we really are. Oh, and so we hear a lot about transparency, you know, and authenticity. And don't try to be something that you're not. Well, boy, I see a lot of people who are working real hard to be something that they're not. But when it comes to influence, when it comes to being a good influence, when it comes to doing the right thing, I do think that there's big strength in that barometer being, what do? What do you say? How do you behave? How do you act when nobody's watching? Now, apply that to what you've heard about the goings-on at Penn State. Well, clearly there was some horrible behavior happening when the alleged violator only thought that the kid being violated was the one who knew, and thought probably he could control that kid. And obviously he was right. He could control that kid for a period of time, but no longer. And as a leader, what are you going to do when the cat's out of the bag? What are you going to do when you're found out? What are you going to do when people do figure out, you know, he or she, they aren't what they appear to be. They put on one front, but that's not who they are. Well, there's a term for it, you know. It's called hypocrisy. It's called hypocrisy. It's called trying to appear one way when really you are another way. And most often, I think the hypocrite is deluded, thinking that they've really fooled people, when more often than not, they haven't fooled anybody. More often than not, they themselves are the biggest fool. How do you behave when nobody's looking? What kind of person are you when nobody's looking? What kind of person are you when nobody's listening, when nobody's paying attention, when, let's qualify it, when you think nobody's looking? Well, sadly, there are a lot of people who live one way when they think people are looking, and they live a very different way when they think people are not looking. We see evidence of it rather commonplace, quite frankly, because we live in a day and age of cell phones and cell phone cameras and mobile recording devices of all kinds. And so it's problematic. It's growing increasingly problematic for the hypocrite. I think instead of getting caught up in the qualities of leadership, I think it really should boil down to just doing the right thing. I think it should boil down to being the person that you should be all the time, whether people are looking or not, with the assumption that people are always looking. Somebody is always looking. And what influence do you want to have on them? And you can't hang your hat on the fact, well, they're looking, but I don't know who they are and who gives a care. You have to care. It's your life. It's your reputation. And I know the law of PR. Hey, as long as people are talking about me, even if they're saying something bad, that's better than not talking about me at all. And I know, oh, how we clamor for attention in today's social media world. Talk about us. We want to be talked about. We love to be talked about. Please talk about me. Please link to my blog. Please subscribe to me. Please follow me. Please friend me. And you know why? Well, we want an audience. That's why. We want people to follow us. We want to be heard. We want a big crowd. We want an audience. And the audience can never be large enough, can it? Years ago, I remember having a conversation when the internet was quite young, and the internet is still quite young. Talking with a business person who their particular industry was quite noted for seminar kind of selling, real world, go to a place and sit in a room and that kind of a presentation. And we were talking about the internet, and the observation that I made, and there was this, the conversation was this quest for, you know, some big number because of the internet. And my comment was, you're willing to go and to rent a room at a hotel. You're willing to go to all of the trouble. You're willing to do direct mail. And if you can get 50 people in a room, you feel like a big success, right? Right, he said. And yet, because it's the internet and because it's virtually free and the technology, and of course, back then, the technology was not quite what it is now. It was kind of sort of there, but now with GoToMeeting and these things, we've got terrific resources. But I said, because the cost is virtually nil, I mean, it certainly isn't nearly the headache of going to a local hotel, renting a room, trying to negotiate, some deal, sending out a direct mail piece, and then hoping that you convert however many, whatever the percentage is. I mean, you know, if you hope for a 2% conversion rate, to just get people to come to some free event so that you can give them something of value, information-wise, and then at the end of the thing, make your pitch, and then you hope to convert some percentage of those who have come. So you've got 50 people. Those 50 people represent a very small number of a much larger advertising effort, direct mail effort. And then of those 50, you know, if you hope to sell 10, 5, some small number. And yet, with the internet, his expectation was far grander, far grander. He had done, you know, at the time, a lot of things were done like audio conferencing, you know, the teleseminar kind of a thing. It wasn't nearly as sophisticated then as it is now, where you could share your screen and, you know, do a slide deck and that kind of stuff. This was done audio. And he had... the number was in the high 30s, and he was lamenting it, you know, what a pathetic thing that was. And I said, you know, what would it cost you to get 38, pick the number. What would it cost you to get 38 people, to be able to influence 38 people to come to a hotel and to give you their attention, to come one evening, to take an evening out of their life, 38 people in a room? Well, he hadn't thought about it that way. And I said, you know, this is the problem that the internet presents. I mean, everybody gets all completely discombobulated because, well, it's so easy. It's so easy. And so the expectations are crazy high. I mean, I know people who can provide some service, and if they had 30 paying clients in what we call brick and mortar in traditional business, they would have a great business. And they act like, well, if they can't get thousands and thousands of people to pay attention to them online, then they're a miserable failure. You know, because they'll point out somebody who's got 22,000 subscribers. Well, okay, that's hooray for them. Of course, you and I, when it comes to a business sense, What would you want? I'm not a betting man, but I'll use the metaphor. What would you wager that there are a number of people who have 22,000 or more subscribers and they have not figured out a way to make a living? Because that number, what does that represent? Well, it represents the strength of their leadership. No, it doesn't. Oh, it represents their influence. No, it doesn't. It's a number. It's a number. Doesn't represent anything but a number. Well, and we get all wrapped up in conversion rates. Listen, I'm a sales and marketing guy. I get all that. I've been doing that longer than many of you have probably been alive. The fact of the matter is, influence happens even if it's with a group. And I'm a broken record on this, and I'll end on this note. But influence is a person at a time. Yeah, but Randy, I can get up in front of a lot of people. Yes, you do. I'm behind a microphone. How many people are listening? I have no idea. But right now, at this very moment, you're not paying attention to anybody else. This is you and me. This is you and me. It's just us. Nobody else. We are the only people. And that's how influence happens. Even with a group, even if you are in a live event and you are speaking publicly and there's 1,000 people in the room and you're giving some keynote address, your influence is happening one person at a time. Yes, there's something to group psychology and all that, but I want to impress upon you those two things, that influence is very personal. The influence that you receive from others and the influence you give to others, it's very individual, it's very personal, it's one-on-one. It's the impact that you have on someone else's life. It's the impact that that person's life has on you. Secondly, your leadership is highly likely determined by who you really are when you don't think anybody else is looking. Listen, it's not just all about living life out loud and large and in charge. It's about the help and assistance and the acts of leadership that you display without any hoopla. But boy, don't we love hoopla. And we all know people who just absolutely, I mean, they break their arm patting themselves on the back. And I understand self-promotion. I don't view people as being scoundrels for promoting themselves. But come on, don't you tire of the person who constantly does it? They're just, you know, it's just one pat on the back after another, and I'm terrific, and I'm great. And I was listening to an author the other day, and they've got a book coming out. Hasn't been released yet. you know, and the guy talks about how it's a game changer. How it's a game changer. And he made a comment. It just, I don't know, it got my attention. And this is not some pompous, arrogant kind of a guy, but it shows you how full of ourselves we can all become. It's a game changer. This book is going to be a game changer. And I can promise you that there are principles in this book that no one has thought of. Well, that got my attention. Well, because I happen to have read a book that I put great faith and confidence in. Yeah, you know the one. You probably have one in your home, unless you're an atheist or an agnostic. Well, if you're an agnostic, you probably have one. There's nothing new under the sun. Also, the writing of books, there is no end. Boy, that's a fact. So, you know, we can all be deluded. We can all be full of ourselves. But what kind of person are you when nobody's looking? And what kind of a person are you when people are looking? I know there are people who pride themselves on being scoundrels, and that's kind of their reputation. And they're very proud of that. And of course, I tell you what I did. I'm going to make a confession. And I did this because I just got tired of it. I had people in my Twitter stream. I had a few people. And oddly enough, these were mostly women. Sad to say. But when the F-bomb got dropped in a tweet the other day, I made this conscious decision. And I don't want this to come across like I'm taking some high moral ground. It was just, I decided, you know, I don't know that I want to do this anymore. And I went and I unfollowed that person. The next day, another woman dropped an F-bomb, and I went and I unfollowed. And I just kind of made a conscious decision. You know what? I think I'm going to unfollow people that if that's how it's going to roll, I'm out. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. I'm glad that you listened. I appreciate your time and attention. And this is The Yellow Studio.